with the poetic imagination, you know, with a beautiful mind, you get out, you see the sun, you see the moon, you see the goats, you see the arrow, yeah. And the arrow isn't pointing anywhere, it is the direction itself. You see the arrow, the transformation has happened already. The ancient said that poetry is a dream ladder to God. My work lacked that directive. There's a beautiful grounding in reality. Yeah. So, just straight onto the ground. Yeah. My work lacked that directive, but I knew it. I knew it that day you spoke through me. Up there in a flock of summit clouds and goats bursting out of a ditch to crop blackthorn and wiregrass, and the opposing faces of sun and moon fused in one mirror, the car had broken down, and an arrow of blood on a boulder pointed the way to Aleppo. So to my mind, part of the discipline of creating a beautiful mind is actually creating a frontier between what you think is you and what you think is not you. Yeah? Of realizing that you're actually not alone. And actually to feel alone is a kind of willful conceit. Yeah? Because it takes an enormous amount of energy to work against the actuality of what's occurring around you. I'm often at conferences, I work in the organizational world all the time, and every now and again you hear this old saw, you know, there's no free lunch. Meanwhile, usually along the side of the room is this enormous free lunch. And you say, okay, what are you going to, you brought your sandwiches with you? What's going on? I know you're going to be eating this free lunch, you know, that we've all got, yeah. And you look at the fellow on the stage, and it's usually a fellow, yeah? And you say, he wouldn't have got past, you know, a week old without the first free lunch he got from his mother, yeah? Yeah? And then his whole growing, you know, if he had a good family, was a series of free lunches from uncles, aunties, you know, friends, you know, grandparents, yeah? And then the school system, which people killed themselves to make in previous generations, you know? Another free lunch that he walked into, you know? That he didn't create himself, yeah? And even the oxygen he's breathing in the room, the whole thing is this enormous free lunch, and in the teeth, in the very gale of evidence blowing against him, he can stand there and say, there's no free lunch. The attempt to create an identity which is totally self-created, yeah? The illusion, you know, that you've done it all yourself and you'll have to do it yourself. Yeah? And everything else is disappointing except yourself. Yeah? It's lovely sometimes to see a kind of virtuoso identity which is built completely on disappointment. Yeah? I mean, it's like someone who can play the violin really well, you know, but they only play within a very strict genre. Yeah? And you'll often meet people, and the moment you meet them, you know it's just a matter of time before you disappoint them. Yeah? And sometimes you just want to get it over with. You say, excuse me. Can I disappoint you right now instead of going through this 6 months of tension and stress as to when it will actually occur? Yeah? Because the person actually has a nose for it, they're looking for it, their whole identity. They were disappointed at one time in their life, and they're looking for future disappointments to corroborate their initial experience of life. Yeah. 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 As one friend of mine in County Clare says, when God closes one door, he shuts another. And if he's having a really bad day, he says, and then he traps your fingers in it. Yes, he says. This is an invitation, actually. It's an invitation to myself. And interestingly enough, I realized later after I published the poem that I'd unconsciously stolen this dream ladder line from Jeremy Reed's poem, actually. And although it's in a different context, but and with a different